This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Islanders are in the Stanley Cup Conference Finals, Rick, and MSG Plus has complete live coverage before and after every game tomorrow night, 7:30. Get ready for Game 5 against the Lightning with the team that's been with you all season long as Shannon Butch and AJ preview the matchup on Islanders game night. Then immediately after Game 5, tune back into MSG Plus for complete coverage, including in-depth analysis and player interviews. Your team, your network, MSG Plus, your home for Islanders Stanley Cup playoff coverage before and after every single game. We don't have to spend a lot of time on the Islanders now. I know that was a painful, painful memory for you yesterday.
Yeah, it was not a great couple of shifts after Brock Nelson made it 1-0.
That was some pass for their first goal, though, huh?
Yeah, it was some pass. It wasn't good. I mean, it wasn't great defense.
That's more bad defense than great pass?
No, it was both. I mean, it was a little bit of both. I mean, it was great passing. It wasn't great defense. And then, I mean, you had Barzal just skate right by Braden Point. Point just sits in the crease and scores the third one. But they got their hands full now, man.
Yeah, got to win 3 in a row against that team. Good luck. All right.
Well, I mean, you saw the difference, though. I mean, when Braden Point's on that, I mean, he's a huge difference
awesome.
On that line.
He's awesome. That's a good. That listen. If you're the Islanders and you lose in 5 games to this team and you've made it to the conference finals, there's no shame in that season.
No, there's no shame. I mean, it's just they could use a couple upgrades. I mean, power play again has cost them. It hasn't been good. Barzal needs someone else. Barzal needs someone that's an upgrade from Eberle on his line. He needs someone to run with. That's not getting the job done.
No. All right. Let's go to these Jets calls. You ready? Here we go. Let's go to Buddha in the Bronx. Buddha, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing, man?
I think Chris and I are great. I don't think Rick can say the same.
I know you have, Rick. You know, we all have. We're kind of almost back at the Rich Kotitis family days with Leon Hess. Remember that?
I choose not to.
We're almost there. Listen, you can blame it on Gase. You can blame it on Joe Douglas for replacing Robbie Anderson with Rashard Perriman, who gets out of bed lane. Sam Darnold's regressing, as we all know. But they're all derivatives, man, of Johnson & Johnson. You know, Woody Johnson was a bad owner. Chris Johnson is abysmal, man. You know, Mike McCarthy wasn't hired because, you know, he was established. He wasn't going to take that Chris Johnson interference. You know, but I listened to the call. Yesterday, I tried to call in early when Anita and Chris. You know, I was listening to the calls, man. I'm listening, you know, and I love all my Jets fans. Ira, Artie, you know, Mark from Newark, Chris from Manhattan. But what the hell did you guys expect to see? Like, what did you think was going to happen here? If this is not going to get better, this is a snowball rolling down the hill. It's going to get worse. San Francisco lost that game yesterday. What do you think they're coming? That game has 45-7 written all over it. I just don't understand, like, how do you overcome as a fan? This goes for the Jets, the Knicks, and the Mets. You know, it's always somebody else's fault. It's Mickey Callaway, then it's Terry, then it's Phil Jackson, then it's Isaiah Thomas. You know, all of these problems.
But Buddha, here's the problem: you can't fire the owners. You might not like them, and I know a lot of people like Dolan, and certainly a lot don't like Wilpon, and that's actually going to change. You're not getting rid of the Johnsons. It's not happening.
Yeah, I know that, and that's our problem, and that's why it's so frustrating to be a Jets fan. We're in a state of limbo. We're a laughing stock. I'm not going across the country. I visit family. Like, we are laughing stock, man. Then I'm listening to. I know this has nothing to do with it, but I'm listening to Mr. T yesterday with this optimism. It's going to be a close game. What the hell are you looking at? What have you been looking at for the last 3 years? This is ridiculous. He said Todd Bowles is going to be a hot commodity at coach. I'd hire Michelle Scalise from Security Dodge before I hire Todd Bowles.
Wow.
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, but she's excellent. Excellent in the cover, too. Excellent in the cover, too.
Yeah, right. He ran all over Todd Bowles. It's an abject disaster. I mean, it's very frustrating, man. You know, you love the team, but it's the same thing. And each guy starts out, they start out good. Remember Herm? First 2 years, start out great. Mangini starts out good. Rex Ryan took it to a level higher than the two of them, but they all end up in the same place. And I have to ask myself, is Joe Douglas doing the same thing to what they did to Rex Ryan when they brought Idzik there? You knew when Idzik came, he knew nothing about picking players. He knew nothing about signing free agents. All he could do was be a capologist.
But that's not Buddha, that's not what's happening here. Joe Douglas knows what he's doing. Unfortunately for the Jets, they made the decision to keep Mike Maccagna around, you spend the money and make your draft picks, and now Joe Douglas is trying to clean up that mess.
This is more on Adam Gase to me than Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas, this was his first offseason. Like, this was his first steps in building his program. Like, with Adam Gase, he's been here for 2 years now. And that's the best you could do with your regular season opener, which is absolutely ridiculous. The last caller, he asked what he expected to see. Listen, I didn't think that the Jets were going to beat the Bills. I actually called the game 26-17 Bills. But
Good for you.
I didn't expect the Jets to come out in their first three possessions and go 3-and-out. I didn't expect to see an entire quarter of football and the Jets only get one first down. I didn't expect to see their punter kick the ball 4 times in the first quarter. I didn't expect those things. I thought the offense was going to be better because guess what? The offense couldn't be much worse than it was last year.
Well, look worse yesterday.
They were 32nd in the league. So I expected the offense to look better. I expected this team to be more disciplined, and they just weren't. That's the part that I don't understand because, I mean, at this point, whatever you're preaching from a culture standpoint, I mean, the message should have gotten through to your players. And the fact is, this team looked more sloppy yesterday than they did in the second half of the 2019 season. It almost feels like the Jets are hustling backwards. Why I say Adam Gase is the wrong guy for the job.
Corey in Queens, you're next up, Corey, on 98.7.
Hey, guys, love y'all show, man. Listen. When is this love affair with Joe Douglas going to end, man? When is it going to end?
Well, he's brand new to the job, Corey. He's had one draft, one offseason.
Okay, listen. Did y'all not see what Robbie Anderson did yesterday?
So you want to move on from Joe Douglas after he had one offseason? One? And he traded the best
Robbie Anderson played
for
one game.
Future picks?
Robbie Anderson played one game. Let's relax a little bit. Robbie Anderson had a great game. He had one game.
Saying that. He couldn't help us. You don't think Robbie Anderson could have helped us yesterday? Instead, Brett Pyramid, what did he do? What did he do out there? Nothing. Robbie Anderson gave us something, man. Something.
Yeah, but I don't know if Pyramid was brought in to replace Robbie Anderson as much as Denzel Mims was drafted to replace Robbie Anderson.
Okay.
Unfortunately, he's dealing with hamstring injuries. Hamstring.
I understand, and thanks for the call, Corey, the frustration of the Jets fan. If you want Douglas gone already, then you have less than zero patience. He's had one draft. That's it. It's not his fault they brought him in at the most bizarre time.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And again, I mean, if I was Joe Douglas, would I have tried to address some of the issues? I get you trying to save draft picks and money and everything else, but I mean, could I have used DeAndre Hopkins? That's something I would have considered. Yannick Ngakoue, something I would have considered. I mean, these are guys that can be part of your long-term plans moving forward, especially because you're not paying your quarterback yet, right? Like, that's important. But I will say this. I mean, we said this at the time. We had all that money, right? All that money to spend, and Mike Maccagna went out and spent it. Not one of those guys that he spent the money on is currently contributing to this team right now.
No.
Yeah.
Not one.
No, he overpaid, and they don't contribute.
Jermaine Johnson was a nightmare. That was maybe the worst signing in the history of the Jets.
Horrendous.
CJ Mosley,
Bell's been a brutal signing too. Whether he's used properly or not, he has not been a good signing, and you way overpaid for him.
Exactly right. So not one of those guys are contributing to your team in a positive way right now.
But Dave, explain to me how you're going to get top tier talent if you don't way overpay for him.
No,
like what would be the incentive for a guy to come play for the Jets?
None.
Exactly.
You have to pay the Jets tax.
Yeah, you absolutely have to. But that's the part of the things that becomes hard for a general manager to get turned around. And listen, I'm not saying that Joe Douglas has done a great job in his first offseason, but I will say this. Joe Douglas has at least tried to address some of the more pressing problems. The offensive line was awful last year, and he retooled the offensive line. You got 5 new starters from the group you marched out in week 1 last year. So, I mean, Mekhi Becton, his first pick, 11th overall, he actually looks like a player. So, I mean, Jets fans got to pump the brakes on wanting to get rid of Joe Douglas. It usually takes 3 years to evaluate a general manager. Now, with your head coach, you can absolutely be critical of Adam Gase. I mean, when you look at the process in which he went through to actually get the job, to get fired by the Dolphins, then hired by the Jets in the same offseason cycle, like that was a question mark. Chris Johnson was telling us that he knew better because everybody was saying, well, why wouldn't you go with more of a proven commodity, a coach that wants the job? Or a hot college coach in Matt Rhule. 2 guys that actually wanted the job, Mike McCarthy and Matt Rhule. Now, it's hard to bang the drum for McCarthy after the decision he made early in the fourth quarter in that game last night. But still, Mike McCarthy is a Super Bowl winning coach. He's got over 100 regular season wins, okay? He's proven himself as a good head coach in the NFL. Matt Rhule was the hot college coach. Everybody wanted him. Those two guys wanted the job because they believed in Sam Darnold's ability. And Chris Johnson decided, you know what? I'm not going to go with either one of those guys. I'm going to go with Adam Gase because I got a feeling about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how the hell does that feeling look now? Looks ridiculous.
I don't know what more there is to say. I think you summed it up. Melissa in Long Island, she's very upset. Melissa, you're next up on 98.7.
Hello. I would say good morning, but I'm a Jets fan, so it's really not a good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
And nor has it really ever been on a Monday following a football Sunday for the past, I don't know, 10 years. My original point was going to be fire Gase, because that was what I thought approximately 5 minutes into the first quarter yesterday. But what I was more thinking about one caller ago, someone was talking about like Robbie Anderson, like, oh my goodness, how did we not keep Robbie Anderson? Robbie Anderson was not that great. He had a lot of drops. Yes, he had the potential to be explosive. You saw that a couple of times with like that 92-yard catch against Dallas last year. But in general, in my lifetime, and I'm not that old, I'm 25, but I've been a Jets fan since I was like 6 or 7. I have never seen the Jets have a top-tier wide receiver. Like, the closest would maybe be that Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker year. But besides that, like, the Jets are not helping Sam Darnold. And he looked awful yesterday, like, no doubt. But he has never been given anyone. Neither has any of their quarterbacks for the past, I don't even know how many decades. And that's
Fitzy had some weapons now.
Blows my mind.
Ryan Fitzpatrick had some weapons. I mean, you mentioned it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I mean, they had some weapons, and they had some success. And that was when the team was actually successful.
Yeah, and they were a win in Buffalo away from going to the postseason.
And here's the other thing, though, too. I mean, you want to sit here and bang the drum that we should have kept Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson is not the number one option in Carolina.
No.
He would have been your number one. He's not a number one wide receiver, and the Jets weren't going to pay him like a number one wide receiver. They offered him a deal. He said no, and Joe Douglas moved on.
But you know what people do, right? They see a guy, and we saw the same thing, and thanks for the call, Melissa, with the Osemele the other day. You see a guy have success in another team, you think to yourself, he was mine. I had the same thought yesterday when Janoris Jenkins is taking that football and going the other direction. Like, where was that when he was with the Giants? I got like 5 texts after that.
No, but, you got it in 2016, Dave. The problem is you didn't get it after that.
He was
but that's what happens,
that
Dave. That's what happens. Every player is good in a certain role. There are only so many players that it doesn't matter system, whatever. They're just that talented they can make it work. Most players need a system to have success. And when you're in your team, I mean, your secondary was as bad as your secondary with the Giants was, and Janoris Jenkins was the best. He's going to get exposed because everyone else is awful. Like, when you get put in the right situation in the right role, you can have success.
Correct.
It makes
You're
perfect
right.
sense.
You're right. I mean, Robbie Anderson is a number two receiver on an offense that has some weapons.
Robbie Anderson is a complimentary piece, right? He's a complimentary piece. The problem with the Jets is they don't have enough building block pieces. They don't have enough guys around Sam that you say, you know what, that guy is going to be a cornerstone of our franchise. That guy is going to be somebody that Sam can rely on for the next decade plus. I mean, I on that offense right now, the only guy that I would say is that kind of player is Mekhi Becton. That's it. There's nobody else.
No.
So, I mean, that's a problem. Now, I think a lot of that is on Mike Maccagnan. That's not really on Adam Gase and Joe Douglas. But the problem is Adam Gase and Joe Douglas have to do a good job of being able to put players around Sam in the interim that he can have success with. And I don't think they've done a great job of doing that. I don't think Adam Gase has done a good job of scheming up the X's and O's and playing to whatever strengths the team has, or at least trying to minimize the deficiencies that the offense has. And there are some things that you can point to that say, you know what, opportunities were there this offseason that Joe Douglas wasn't aggressive about trying to pursue. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins looked phenomenal yesterday.
Oh, he's
phenomenal. He had a career-high 14 catches for $150, and his team won.
Against a good defense.
Against a team that was just in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you start looking at what's in the best interest of Sam Darnold, I think both Adam Gase and Joe Douglas are leaving some things to be desired. Now, I will give Joe Douglas credit. Again, he tried to address the offensive line. He's trying to protect Sam. But you also have to have some talent around Sam. And that's on the offensive side of the ball, but that's also on the team because the defense plays a part in making your quarterback better too. And quite frankly, there's just not enough talent.
You're right. I don't think anybody's going to argue with any of the points that you've made. Today on ESPN Daily, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Cam Newton in the 2018 draft class. Week one of the NFL was all about quarterbacks, and Bill Barnwell, the great Bill Barnwell, joins Pablo to break down each performance. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. Guys, we'll do a frenzy at 10:30 at 800-919-3776. Let's go around the NFL a little bit from what we saw yesterday. We'll start with the biggest games and move down from there. Saints-Bucks. Brady leads a touchdown drive early. They'll go up 7-0, but he was not great the remainder of the way. And the Saints, even, and I'm convinced that Drew Brees is just, he's just not that good anymore, but they're such a talented team, and they use Taysom Hill so well and effectively that they're a very good team. I don't think it's a huge mark on Brady and the Bucks, and the Saints come away with a 34-23 victory yesterday at home against Tampa.
Yeah, uncharacteristic mistakes from Tom Brady. But that could be, I mean, you know, Chris has made the point that he was practicing with his teammates. That's different than going into a week one game against a team like the Saints. I mean, they're one of the best teams. They should be one of the best teams in the NFC, period. I didn't think Drew Brees looked great. He made a nice little Jared Cook.
Great.
Well, I mean, but again, it's week one, man, with no preseason or anything else. I don't disagree with you. Here's the thing. My only concern with the Bucs would be how much patience Tom Brady's going to have with his team making the kind of mistakes that they made. Because he's not used to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but he's in that boat with him now. I mean, they're married together for the next 2 years. We'll have to see how that works out. But, I mean, Dan Orlovsky made the point earlier this morning on KJZ that he felt like he was more concerned about Drew Brees coming out of that game than Tom Brady. And I don't know, guys. I think I'm agreeing with him. Like, I already felt like Tom Brady had more left in the tank, but Drew Brees did not look great yesterday. At least with Tom Brady, you can make the excuse like that was the first game action with that cast of characters. What's Drew Brees' excuse? What's his excuse?
No, you're right. I mean, his arm strength is literally non-existent at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a really good team around him, and that Saints defense is a lot better than people are giving him credit for. I mean, Trey Hendrickson, he is some kind of pass rusher, man. I didn't realize he was that good of a pass rusher, but he was taking it to Donovan Smith yesterday. And Cam Jordan was abusing Tristan Wirfs. But, I mean, listen, that Saints defense is really good. The skill positions players on offense for the Saints are really good. I mean, the division is going to come down to those two teams. And it's whether or not Tom Brady and that Bucs offense can figure it out quick enough. I thought the Bucs defense was plenty good enough.
They did play well play well yesterday in that game. Patriots yesterday. All right, that's the one you have to go to after Tom in Tampa. And that is the Patriots. And wasn't pretty the entire game, but Cam Newton does what he does and scores a couple touchdowns. Their defense is good, as you'd expect, and they win that game by double digits yesterday over the Miami Dolphins, Chris. So, yeah, I mean, you expected Bill Belichick to find a way to use Cam Newton effectively, and they certainly did that in game one.
Well, it should have been a bigger win than they had yesterday because N'Keal Harry fumbles the ball going into the end zone and ends up being a touchback for the Dolphins, and they get points on the next drive. But, I mean, when it came winning time, to be able to convert on that fourth down, I mean, they went with a quarterback run. And I say this all the time. When you have a quarterback like Cam Newton, there is no perfect defense when he decides that he's going to run the football, and that's including designed quarterback runs. I mean, he's like a short yardage running back at quarterback. And then you have the benefit of being able to pick up an extra blocker in the run game because you're not handing off to a running back. So, I mean, Cam Newton is going to make that Patriots offense a little bit different than the one that we've seen under Tom Brady. I mean, it's just going to be more dynamic from the standpoint they are going to have the ability to do some more things in the running game. And Bill Belichick wants to run the football anyway. So with that Patriots defense still playing pretty well, when you have that kind of running game to complement it, it's going to make the Patriots a tough out.
Let's be honest. That's pass interference, by the way. That's pass interference. The non-call, Fitzpatrick's last interception.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
it looks like I was going to get the cover. I mean, that's pass interference. Killed me.
Oh, I see what you're doing here.
Yeah, because I'm covering that game, no question.
Because you what are you, 0-2 with the game pending? Is that what you did yesterday?
Yeah, I got a game pending, yeah. What am I supposed to do? Did you expect Minnesota to be that bad?
No, that was awful.
No.
What's Kirk Cousins doing throwing that interception at the end of the first half? That completely changed the game.
Not that good.
Well, he's dead to me. So if I die, I die. You're dead to me.
I thought they were going to get a turnaround after that goal line stand in the second quarter. I really did.
The Packers scored 43 points.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers was ridiculous.
He was great.
Aaron Rodgers is, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Not to mention the fact that Davante Adams goes for 156 and two touchdowns.
Yeah, you went up against him, didn't you?
No, I'm not doing fantasy. I'm done with fantasy.
You retired from fantasy?
I quit. Yeah, I quit this year. I'm on a sabbatical. I felt good, too.
Really?
If I can only get rid of these picks, I'll be free and easy on Sundays.
0-2 of the game pending. How'd you do, Chris?
I was one and one yesterday.
And you're pending the Giants, right?
Yep.
By the way, you're going to complain, Rick? I was 2-0, and I had a 23-6 lead with Detroit against Mitch Trubisky. I lost that game.
That's another untimely interception by Detroit.
Oh, how does he drop that?
Oh, and then, yeah, the running back in the end zone.
Swift, how does he? I mean, it's in his hands.
Yeah, poor kid. He didn't get much sleep last night, I bet.
I'm sure he didn't sleep at all.
Yeah, that's a tough one, Dave. I'm sorry for you.
Yeah,
guys, am I wrong for watching that comeback by the Bears yesterday and still not trusting Mitch Trubisky?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
No.
No, I wouldn't trust him.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't the only one.
No. I don't think he gained any favor, even though he had that big comeback yesterday.
No, but it's good for him. I mean,
great for him.
The GM needs him to play well, really.
Desperately.
It doesn't matter how well he plays. There's still no way you could justify that decision. He took Trubisky over Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
Never. I was actually just hoping that he wasn't going to be so bad that he wouldn't start next week against the Giants. Fortunately, I'm sure we'll get the start now, so that's good news.
That's good news for us, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But is Nick Foles really that good? I mean, why do we all pretend like Nick Foles is that good? He lost his job to Gardner Minshew. Come on, stop, please.
I think he's better than
Nick Foles play at a higher level than I've seen.
I won a Super Bowl, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I've seen it from Nick Foles.
He got a bowl load of money and lost his job to Gardner Minshew.
At least I've seen it, though, Rick. I've seen it. At least I know he's capable of it.
He has given you games where he's looked good. Yeah, he almost hasn't. They win in spite of him. All right, how about last night? What a pleasure that was to watch. The Rams beating the Cowboys 2017. McCarthy, ridiculous play calling down towards the end and going for it on that fourth down. That was wonderful, Rick. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I just don't know what he was thinking going for it with all that time left in the fourth quarter. Like, I could understand, okay, you're going to say at the end of the game, I'm going to try to win the game here. But you have all of that time in the fourth quarter. Why are you going for it?
Just tie the
really
game good play.
See what happens.
A really good play he wanted to use.
Yeah, it was a really good play, and guess what? The Rams made a better play.
Yeah.
That one play where CeeDee Lamb runs a yard short of the stick.
Love it. See the stick? Go close to that, but not all the way, and we'll hit you.
I didn't think that was pass interference, though, to be honest.
I didn't think it was
that's OPI either. It wasn't enough force. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, I mean, the arm was out there, but it's not like it wasn't a forcible push off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, he's just trying to free up his arm. I mean, Ramsey had him hooked.
Yeah.
He sold it. I give him credit. I mean,
it was a sketchy call. That being said, the Cowboys have to win that. Like, they had so many chances to win that game.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. But yeah,
their defense is not very good, though, Dave. And their defense couldn't get off the field.
And they couldn't. Van Der Esch, right? He's out for a while now.
Yeah, he broke his collarbone. Yeah. But, I mean, in terms of the boots and the sprints, they could not defend that passing game.
Not at all.
And Sean McVay does a good job of marrying, like, the passing game and the running game. Because, I mean, the stretch zone looks exactly like the boots that they run, the swap boots. But, I mean, the Cowboys have got to be better at defending that. If they're not going to defend that, guess what? They're going to see that over and over and over and over again. It's a copycat league, man. If you struggle with something defensively, the next team is just going to run the same thing and try to figure out whether or not you fixed it.
Yeah. They were bad. Their defense was not good at all.
The
Rams should have scored way more than 20 points last night.
Yes, I agree with that.
It almost reminds me of how dynamic the Jets offense is when I watch the Rams.
Yes, a lot of similarities between McVay and Gase. Now streaming Disney's new movie, Mulan. Experience a legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom. Available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock Premiere access. And also, we want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere you go. Click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go.
A frenzy. A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love it. Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
Let's go. Frenzy time, rapid fire, 800-919-3776 on the Twitter as well, at Rothenberg ESPN. Rapid fire. I want to get to a lot of questions. Chris, we start with you. Gio tweets in, if the Jets get the first overall selection, do they draft Trevor Lawrence?
Dave, it would be hard not to. I mean, if you get the first overall selection, a lot of people are going to be trying to trade up to get a pick. It depends on how Sam Darnold finishes 2020. If he shows a little more consistency and he looks a lot better than he did yesterday, then maybe you consider trading out of that spot. But, I mean, if he doesn't, then it's on the table.
Jonathan Green tweets in, Rick, would you bet a significant amount of money that Adam Gase is still the head coach in Week 10 of this season?
Would I? I mean, I don't know how you want to answer that question. I would bet that he's probably not the head coach.
Okay. So you would lean in that direction. Redding152 tweets in, Chris, do you think the Raiders can be a sleeper team in the AFC West and get into the postseason?
No. I don't think they can be a sleeper team in the AFC West.
Well, let's be fair. They didn't exactly.
Josh Jacobs looked good
yesterday.
Josh Jacobs looked phenomenal.
Yeah.
But no.
He's good player.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Yeah.
I can understand it. Like, if you look like, you know, Giancarlo Stanton and you're all jacked up, like, yeah, sleeves can be optional. Sun's out gun. Why does Derek Carr insist on never wearing sleeves? Does he think his arms look awesome or something? I don't get it.
Yes.
Every time I see him, he's got no sleeves on his shirt.
To answer your question, yes. Yes.
He thinks he looks good.
Yeah.
Hey, he played well. Got the job done. Charles Grodd tweets in, Rick, for the frenzy. Did Joe Burrows do enough performance-wise to give Bengals fans hope, or is it the same old luck with them? I thought he looked great.
I thought he looked good.
Yeah. He's absolutely good.
Outside of that one, I mean, that one brain fart he had where he tried to...
The flip?
Yeah, the flip play, but...
Yeah, but you know what?
He got
the ball back and he drove him all the way down for a touchdown, not for OPI.
And you saw his athleticism, too? I mean, he ran for that touchdown.
That run? He's going to be... I'm telling you, he's going to be very good.
That was a good first game.
Did him no.
They almost won that game, though. I mean, they got that push off on A.J. Green. They almost won that game.
They should have won that game. All right, let's go to the calls. 800-919-3776. James Oceanside. James, you're on the frenzy. He doesn't have James.
That's a good start. Good start.
All right. Do you have Jeff in Howard Beach?
I don't have a question, guys. I just have a quick jingle, if I may. Please.
No, we don't want jingles.
Oh, I like jingles. Stop. I like jingles. I like jingles.
You could have called at any point.
I like jingles. Let me hear the jingle.
We're not McDonald's.
I want the jingle.
We're not an advertising agency listening to jingles.
I want the jingle.
No jingles. It's a question.
Tell me you don't love the new Idina Menzel jingle. Come on.
I do, but that's supposed to be a jingle. It's a commercial.
So this could have been gold. This could have been your taxidermy.
I'm pretty
confident. Get on board, Dave. We're jingling, baby. We're jingling, baby.
Omar in East Brunswick. Omar, you're on the frenzy.
How long can that clown, Adam Gase, realistically last this season?
It's a great question. I mean, if you see more of what you saw yesterday, not long. But the offense was bad. I mean, what else? I don't understand what else. We're beating a dead horse right now. That was terrible. But they weren't competitive in the game.
You can't argue it. It was awful.
You can't.
What they did yesterday was an embarrassment.
What aggravates me the most, too, is like all the self-inflicted things. Like, you learn from the time, I don't care, I mean, you're coached from your little kid. Like, control what you can control. And it's those stupid, like, I mean, and we keep talking about it. Every year we talk about it. These mental errors, the stupidity, the delay of game. Like, how can you possibly take a delay of game in that situation?
That's what bad
makes
football
no sense
do.
To me.
That's what bad football teams do. Birdman JR wants to know, if the Jets fire Gase, do you think they target Eric Bieniemy at some point?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah? You think that's
on
the
short
guy?
List. Yes, he should be on the short list of coaches. Absolutely. Eric Bieniemy is your guy. You need somebody that can get this offense turned around. And whether it's going to be Sam Darnold as your quarterback or another guy, it's still developing a young quarterback. And Andy Reid disciples have shown that they're pretty solid when it comes to getting the most out of young guys.
Lucky Lou wants to know, do you think Danny Dimes, if he does this, it'd be unbelievable, can throw for 350 and 4 touchdowns tonight?
No.
Seems very, very unlikely.
I mean, are we serious with that question?
Listen, he asked it. I don't know. Sam in Ledgewood. Sam, you're next up on the frenzy.
Hey, Aaron Rodgers with 364 yards, 32% completion, 4 touchdowns. Is he the dark horse for the MVP?
Yeah, I don't know if he's a dark horse.
He got off to a great start.
He was awesome.
I would probably say him and Russell Wilson had the best days out of any quarterbacks yesterday.
He was awesome.
If you're going to go dark horse, I'd go Kyler Murray might be a dark horse for the MVP.
Yeah, he was good yesterday, too. A lot of great quarterback play that we got to see yesterday. Jesus in Jersey City, you're next up on the frenzy. Jesus.
Is Daniel Jones already better than Sam the Ghost Darnold?
That's an unfair question.
That's really unfair.
That is really brutal.
He's trying to hurt my feelings with that.
It's really hard to judge what Sam Darnold is. I mean, they have done this kid absolutely no favors. Say what you want about the Giants and how broken they seem to be. They've done a lot better job putting an offense together around their quarterback than the Jets have.
Look at all the first-round picks you have on organization. Offense. I mean, look at all the first-round picks you have on offense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saquon Barkley, second overall pick. Evan Ingram's a first-round pick. Sterling Shepard's, what, a second-round pick?
Second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, come on, man. I mean, his skill positions are so much better than Sam's.
You're starting left tackle, right? Fourth overall selection.
It's not even close.
No, it's not.
To even make the argument that the Jets have enough talent on the offensive side of the ball runs, it's ridiculous.
It is. I agree. Big Steve 89 wants to know, do you blame Cousins, the O-line, or the D-line in yesterday's meltdown for the Minnesota Vikings, Chris?
There were plenty of culprits to go around. The secondary was awful for the Minnesota Vikings. That goes without saying. They didn't get enough consistent pass rush, and the offensive line was just getting pushed around. So, I mean, everybody took turns in yesterday's game. It almost looked like the Mets had put on the Vikings uniforms and went out there and played the Packers.
You see what he's doing today? He's not being nice
shots.
To me today.
All over the place. I like when Chris is aggressive and takes shots.
Can only take so much, Dave. I can only handle so much.
So let's be fair now. Are you rooting for the Steelers tonight just to have this turnabout tomorrow that you can make fun of us?
No, I'm only rooting for the Steelers because Canty picked the Giants. I'm strictly in pick mode now.
It's all about that. Calvin in Washington Heights. Calvin, you're on the frenzy.
I also like the Giants myself, like Chris. I was calling for that. I wanted to give my favorite pick. I'm the gentleman that called. I know a couple of months ago about the
Calvin,
Tampa Bay
we go Bay. Quick here, Calvin. It's a frenzy. It's quick. You got anything quick?
No, that's it. That's my pick. My pick of the day today is the Giants. That's one of my favorite picks of the week, actually.
There you go. Calvin has given us his big selection. He loves the Giants plus the points tonight. If the Giants win tonight, I will be insufferable tomorrow. I'm being completely honest about it. I will be so excited.
I would be too, Dave. It's about time we had some excitement around Bleak Blue, though. We need it.
The Giants win tonight.
I'm taking a paternity day tomorrow.
You should.
Go ahead.
Giants win tonight. I'm taking a paternity day tomorrow.
You should. Say Rocco is colicky and you needed a day.
They'd still make me work. Tried that already.
You know what, Rick? You know what's getting bad with the Jets when Rich Samini tweets out, the Jets stink. They're getting out-coached, out-played, out-everything.
There was no good answer, man. That game was over. There was nothing you could do. What are you going to draw up?
It was awful. Tommy J wants to know, did Lamar Jackson look better yesterday than he did last season? You think he's an improved quarterback?
Yes.
You thought he looked better yesterday than last year?
What was that? I mean, the only concern about him was throwing the ball down the field.
Yeah, he did that well yesterday. See that drive at the end of the first half?
Did you see the catch that Mark Andrews made?
Yes.
The first touchdown? Yes, that was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And Dobbins looks good.
Yeah, that's a scary team.
That is a scary team. Very, very scary team. All right, Santy, blow it, Dad.
You want a bold prediction, David?
There's a frenzy. Go ahead.
Would you like a bold prediction?
I love bold, yeah.
Odell Beckham Jr. does not finish the season on the Cleveland Browns.
You think he was not happy yesterday, huh?
Nah, he's going to get traded. It's not working.
It's really not. Yeah, and he did himself no favors. He dropped a couple of passes yesterday.
Yeah, but there was one where he was wide open and Baker didn't put it on him. Wide open.
Throw.
Wide open.
Yeah.
Touchdown.
Yeah, awful. And Humphrey got hurt in that game yesterday, and they still couldn't capitalize.
Nope.
No. Anyway, in just moments, top of the 11 o'clock hour, Barton Hahn, Rex Ryan joins them at noon, so they've stolen our guest in Rex Ryan. Then Imani Toomer at 12:30. Then it's Greeny at 1, Kellerman at 2, and the K-Show at 3 o'clock. And Jets quarterback Sam Darnold, Rick, you're going to have to listen to that, will join the show at 5:30 this afternoon. So you definitely want to catch that. 5 o'clock on ESPN Television, Monday Night Countdown presented by Subway. And 7 o'clock, Steelers kick off a Monday Night Football doubleheader with the Giants, followed by Titans and Broncos. All right, Rick, you're impartial here. I want to ask you. Giants win this game if what tonight?
Giants win this game if what? I would say the Giants win this game if they can control time of possession, if Daniel Jones has rectified to a certain degree the fumbling issue, they don't turn the ball over, and I would say try to keep your defense off the field as much as possible.
You give them a real chance to win this game?
Yeah, I mean, it's week one. Ben Roethlisberger's just coming back from a serious elbow surgery on his throwing arm. I mean, we haven't seen what he looks like. He looks like he's in good shape, but that doesn't really mean anything. Yeah, I mean, they're playing at home. I think they'll be able to score points. Yeah, I mean, I give them a legitimate chance to win this game.
You want
to
give us a little prediction?
A little prediction?
A little prediction for the Giants and the Steelers.
No,
yeah.
No, because that's – I get what you're trying to get me to do, but I'm going against Chris. Chris picked the – pick the Giants in this game, so I really don't want the Giants to win.
So you're all in on the Steelers. All right, Chris, you think the Giants – I know you think they cover. You think they win this game outright?
Yeah, I picked the Giants to win outright. I got the score 24-23 Giants. And to answer the question that you asked, Rick, I think the Giants win if Saquon goes over 150 yards from scrimmage and they don't turn the ball over.
If the Giants win this game 24-23, I mean, tomorrow will be such a glorious show on the station.
I'm not coming in. I'll take paternity.
You're not coming in?
I'm not coming in.
Come on, why? Rico.
Can't you be happy for friends?
No, I can't be.
Why?
Because I have nothing left.
Oh, your team is in the Eastern Conference Finals in hockey.
Down 3-1. Down 3-1,
Dave.
At least you're there. At least you're there.
Did you watch the Mets game? Have you watched the last couple Mets games?
Oh, they're done. They
got Rosario getting picked off to end the game.
Steve Cohen is the new owner. Tremendous positivity surrounding the Mets.
I guess. All right.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Kicks them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.